Even though St. Mary's College of California is located in a small, isolated community, it is not immune to issues like sexual assault and dating violence. We know that most men are not perpetrators and most women are not victims, but that 90% of violence against women is perpetrated by men. Because of this, the Women's Resource Center uses a holistic approach that brings both men and women to the table to come up with solutions for gender-based violence. This podcast will address some of the critical issues surrounding dating violence and sexual assault, talk about ways to promote a healthy, violence-free culture on campus, and give an overview of intervention strategies and resources available on campus and in the larger community. I'm Sharon Sabota, the director of the Women's Resource Center.
And I'm Gillian Kutshaw, the coordinator of sexual assault awareness, outreach, and education at St. Mary's College of California. According to Community Violence Solutions, 1 in 4 women in college report being forced to have sexual intercourse. Women 16 to 24 are 4 times more likely to be raped than other women. In 80% of sexual assault cases, the victim knew the perpetrator. This is probably higher on college campuses. About 3% of American men, or 1 in 33, have experienced an attempted or completed rape. Only 12% of victims of sexual assault report it to the police, and only 2% of reported rapes are false reports. This is the same percentage as any other violent crime.
Chances are, most of our students know someone who has been impacted by sexual assault or dating violence. Although sexual assault is most likely to be committed by an acquaintance and may occur without witnesses at the time of the actual act, there are often bystanders that may knowingly or unknowingly have the capacity to intervene. The October 2009 Richmond High rape case became a national case study in women's resource centers, college campuses, and violence prevention programs throughout the country. In this incident, a young high school student was raped while her peers watched and no one intervened. Stephen Thompson is the director of sexual aggression services at the University of Michigan. Thompson said that people have 3 choices when they are in the position of being a bystander to sexual assault. They can participate, they can do nothing, or they can intervene. Thompson discussed how the bystander mentality came into play during the Richmond High incident.
People need to understand what their choices are, what their options are. Perhaps, as I said, many people thought, well, somebody else has already done that. Many people thought, well, if I do anything, they're gonna get me. Then do it anonymously. But do something, because you got to look at yourself in the mirror the next day. Nobody did that. And that's what I call the zebra mentality or the bystander, where people didn't want to get involved. And you typically will find that the more people that view an event that needs a positive action, the less likely any one person is to pick up that phone or to intercede, because they always think somebody else is going to do it.
Thompson says that the onus for interrupting the cycle of violence against women is on bystanders.
Why do people perpetrate? I'm not smart enough to know that, but I am smart enough to know that almost every time somebody perpetrates a sexual assault, a stalk, anything like that, that other people know about it. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. And so what we need to do is prepare people to maybe control the predatory. If he can't act out successfully, then he still might want to do it, but if he can't do it successfully or she can't do it successfully, it won't happen. So we've got to prepare students at colleges, high schools, people in communities to understand maybe we can't change people that initiate bad things, but it's possible we can control them through this bystander mentality.
On college campuses, the bystander mentality often plays out in more subtle ways. After attending the first National Men's Conference, an SMC alum and former resident advisor learned that he had unknowingly been a bystander.
Einstein's worst fear was not about the people who are, you know, evil and all that in the world. It was that the people who sit there and watch it and don't do anything about it. I've seen situations where I know for a fact that sexual assault is happening, and I don't necessarily encourage, like, oh, hey, man, just go sexually assault her. But a guy will be like, dude, she's so wasted, man, I'm going to get at her. And as a resident advisor, I'm just, you know, ensuring that he's safe and that, you know, he's using a condom and all that and that she's saying yes. But at the same time, it's like, even if she says yes, she's intoxicated. You know, the concept we learned about consent is so, you know, it's yes when you're sober. That's what it is. So for me, it really hit me hard because it's like I was being a bystander. As a man, we should always attack depression. Females should as well. But being that this is a men-dominated issue right now, I think that we should take the courage to lead and impact the issue.
A secondary survivor is someone who is in some capacity connected to a victim. In the event that a sexual assault occurs on a college or high school campus, friends, peers, and classmates of the victim often feel vulnerable. These are voices of fellow students of the Richmond High victim from October 2009.
I feel sad about the situation because people just making up excuses, blaming the stuff on her and told her, oh, it's her fault that she got raped and stuff. So that's why we had this little candlelight fire today.
So people have been actually saying it's her fault.
Yeah, but it's not her fault. It's just like nobody deserves to get raped.
And were you at the dance yourself?
Yeah.
How does that part impact you, knowing that you were there when this incident happened?
Well, I was having fun, but I didn't know like nothing going on like that in the back. Like
I could say, oh, it won't happen to me, but it could happen to someone I know, or it can happen to me. It's possible to happen to anyone, so I just have to be more cautious.
I think it's sad because it could be the people that you be around every day that could do something like this, and actually it's scary because when they announced like some of the people that did it, I actually knew them. I had a couple classes with one of them, and I knew another one. I seen them a couple times, and as I've been walking home, like, so actually it's scary because that could have been me.
I'm an athlete, to tell you the truth, so I don't do none of that wild stuff. So I just keep my game in basketball.
It took that incident to get all these people out here to come together and realize that they need to support the community more and also Richmond High School.
I have said that, you know what, it's our job as individuals to challenge our peers, to challenge them whenever they're saying something inappropriate, whenever they're doing something inappropriate. So as a male, you know, like there's a lot of men that are disrespecting women. So it's the perfect time for men, not just like myself, but all people all across the country to speak out, to challenge them, to address the situation right when it's happening. Don't wait for later on. Wait while it's like, do it when it's happening. It's the time to speak up. The time is now.
There are a number of resources available on campus and in the surrounding community to support survivors of sexual assault. The Women's Resource Center provides proactive programming, advocacy, and referrals. Our staff works in close collaboration with members of the Counseling Center, which provides no-fee confidential counseling to SMC students, as well as departments such as Student Disability Services, in the event that a student we are seeing needs academic accommodations while coping with a crisis. We also work closely with the Health and Wellness Center and with Mission and Ministry. All of these places serve as on-campus resources. In the outside community, we partner closely with Community Violence Solutions, the Contra Costa County Rape Crisis Center, and Stand for Families Free of Violence. All of these resources are available to our students. In the event that something happens outside of conventional business hours, that a student is seeking information but does not want to make face-to-face contact, students can call the anonymous on-campus sexual assault crisis response hotline at 925-878-9207. The line is staffed by 7 staff and faculty members who are trained on an ongoing basis to provide referrals, support, and information to students. If students are seeking off-campus support, they may also opt to call the Contra Costa County Rape Crisis Center's hotline at 800-670-7273. For sexual assault-related issues, and the Stand for Families Free of Violence hotline at 1-888-215-5555 for concerns related to unhealthy relationships or dating violence. Once a report reaches a member of the Public Safety Department, the report is no longer confidential. At this point, it may be good practice to call the on-campus hotline at 925-878-9207 to talk about any necessary procedures for supporting victims and critical timelines. The team member can also offer to reach out to the victim to give some personalized support. Because a report is already in existence, it's no longer anonymous. Things to keep in mind when supporting a victim of sexual assault include letting the survivor know that you are genuinely interested in making sure that he or she is safe and has access to resources to help deal with the alleged incident. Avoiding asking questions like, what were you thinking? What were you doing? Why did you wear that? Why were you drinking? Chances are the victim is already blaming him or herself enough. Also, it's a very good idea to encourage the student to utilize resources on campus.
This concludes our first podcast. Please stay tuned for our next podcast about dating violence resources.